Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning. It's so good to be with you today on this Palm Sunday, the start of Holy Week. As we go on that journey, preparing ourselves and walking through those different steps as we get to Friday, Good Friday, and then look ahead to Easter Sunday. It's a week which is difficult at points, dramatic, not as expected, but as it was predicted. And it begins today on Palm Sunday, as Jesus enters into Jerusalem on his way to the cross and ultimately to an empty tomb. And as he goes on that journey, along the way, he teaches us lessons. In the previous few weeks as a church, we went on this series along the way. And today and next Sunday, I want to look at this journey that Jesus goes on in the last week of his life. He teaches us lessons of how we are to be his true disciples and followers. There was a man in a village in Kenya who lived in a place that was surrounded by overgrown grass, tall trees, and thick shrubs. It meant that their village was isolated, and it required a 3 or 4 mile journey to the nearest town where they could receive and purchase the essentials that they needed for life. Think about that. Every day they had to go 3 or 4 miles to get to the store to buy what they needed and then walk 3 or 4 miles back. It was inconvenient. It wasn't easy. I mean, even today in our world, we get frustrated when there's a diversion, if there's some roadworks happening in our town. It means our journey takes that little bit longer, but for these people, every single day, they had to go on that journey of 3 or 4 miles each way. Until this man decided that he was going to do something about it. He decided that he was going to make a new path through that area that was rough. It was a wilderness. It was a wasteland. It was overgrown. And with some simple tools, an axe and a spade, he began to cut through the overgrown trees and grass area. He began to dig up the roots and he began to smooth over the ground to create a new path. A path that would take them directly to the town where they could buy their essentials for life. Well, the guy worked night and day, did his utmost, sweat, blood, and tears, everything to get that path made. And then, when he finally made the path, rather than having to go that long journey, the villagers were able to walk straight through to the town. It meant that their journey went from 3 or 4 miles to 1 mile. And I think that is a great picture of what Jesus accomplishes in his mission here on earth. No longer do we need to go the long way around through religious laws and rituals and practices, but he gives us direct access to the Father through him. He is the way. He opens up the way for each and every one of us to find the Father. I wonder today, as we look at this story and this week that leads up to Good Friday, you know, there are moments when it's quite easy to follow Jesus. When everything is going your way, when everything seems to be going the way you would like it to go, but the reality is there are times in life when things are a lot more challenging and difficult. Jesus teaches us that true discipleship is when we follow him, not when everything's going the way we want it to, but even when things are a lot harder. I wonder this morning, can you go the distance? Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, and this is where it opens with telling us about that final stretch of Jesus' journey. As he begins to enter into Jerusalem at the start of Passover, the city is busy, there's a lot happening, and as he enters into the city, at this point, people think this is the moment when Jesus is going to overthrow the Romans, that he was going to fulfill their hopes and desires. But Jesus doesn't ride in on a war horse, like some conquering soldier. He comes on a humble donkey, as he is the humble servant king. We pick it up at the start of chapter 21, and as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them. He will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, then on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." As Jesus enters into Jerusalem, the crowds respond with shouts of praise, "Hosanna," as Jesus makes his way in. They are waving palm branches in the air, a sign of victory for their king. Jesus is the prophet. Jesus is the prophecy. Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy. He is the King of Peace, the humble servant king of his kingdom. You know, it's easy to follow Jesus when everything makes sense. When life seems to be going the way that you would like it to go, but it's not so easy when life doesn't seem to make sense, when it's hard and confusing. Can you still raise a hallelujah? Can you still declare all praise to King Jesus in those moments which don't make sense? Because here at this time, the crowd are looking from their own perspective when everything seems to be going their way. At this moment, it looks like Jesus is going to do what they wanted him to do. But as the week goes on, they bow to political pressure. And when Jesus doesn't seem to be doing what they want him to do, they turn on him or they give up on him. It's easy to fall into the trap of viewing life from the moment you find yourself in. In those times, we see things very restricted, very challenging, very difficult. We lose sight of the big picture. We're living in that moment. The Bible tells us that we only see in part, that we have a limited understanding, and often in those moments, life doesn't make sense. But Jesus, he has an eternal perspective. Jesus realizes the significance of this moment. In this moment, heaven is on earth. We have a glimpse of who Jesus fully is. He is greater than any earthly power or any earthly authority. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And as he rides into Jerusalem on that donkey, he is making a clear statement that he is king. The crowd respond and ask, "Who is this?" They did not fully comprehend who Jesus is. They are confused by what's going on. They think he's going to overthrow the Romans. They hope he's going to do that. But he's on a donkey. This doesn't seem to make sense. Who is Jesus? See, that's the question that they ask throughout this week. The disciples, they are all finding moments where they're going, "Well, who is Jesus? Is he really who we thought he was?" Pilate's confused and he asks, "Well, what should I do with Jesus?" And then when Jesus is hanging upon the cross and breathes his last breath, the Roman soldier asks that question, "Who is Jesus?" And he comes to the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of God. But you must answer that question. Who is Jesus? How you answer that question will determine what you will do with Jesus. It will frame your whole life. Where do we find the answer? Well, we can look to the words and the actions of Jesus. And as we go through this week on this little journey, as we go along the way to victory, as we just look at one or two instances over these next few days, we'll learn lessons of how we can follow Jesus, be true disciples of him. See, in that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, We see here that Jesus is praying. It's mentioned in the Gospels, and particularly in Matthew chapter 24. The Bible tells us here that Jesus is agonizing in prayer and he is struggling. He is anxious. He is praying to the Father and he even says, "Look, Lord, if there is any other way, if there is another way, if it doesn't have to be the cross, but not my will, but your will be done." See, Jesus was willing to submit his will to the Father's, to surrender his comfort, to embrace the agony of the cross. The path to God's plan does not always look like what you'd think it looks like. During this week, Jesus would be betrayed, abused, deserted, humiliated, falsely accused, tortured, spat on, and crucified, yet he is in the center of God's will and fulfilling the plan of salvation. Jesus understands your confusion. There are moments in life, and maybe you find yourself there right now, where you are confused. You do not understand what is happening. But if you are willing to submit your will to the Father's will, to surrender your comfort, to be true to him, even in the midst of confusion, you can still be in the center of God's will. Not only does he understand our confusion, he understands what it is to be let down. See, in that garden, a few moments later, Judas appears with an armed guard. And Judas is asked that question, "Well, who's Jesus? Which one here is Jesus?" And Judas says to the guard, "You'll know who Jesus is because I will kiss him on the cheek." And Jesus is betrayed by a friend with a kiss on the cheek. And in that moment, the disciples are not waving palm branches. One of them is waving a sword. And Jesus settles them down and he doesn't resist the arrest. And he goes with them. You know, Jesus knows what it is to be let down. You know, life is filled with many moments that are letdowns. Nothing more painful than to be let down by a friend. And maybe you find yourself there today and you've experienced a letdown. Something hasn't went the way you thought it would. Someone hasn't responded or acted in a manner you thought they would. Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to experience a letdown. He's arrested, he's captured, he's taken in front of the religious leaders in a kangaroo court. He's humiliated. He is falsely accused. He is questioned. He is shamed in front of them all. And he eventually admits that he is the Son of God. And that sends them into furore. And so frustrated and so annoyed with him, they bring him to Herod. And Herod, he passes the buck to Pilate, who's the Roman governor. And in the Gospels, we read different encounters, versions of this encounter that Pilate has with Jesus. And during the conversation that Pilate has with Jesus, Jesus confesses and recognizes his purpose on earth was now being fulfilled. He was born to die for the sins of the world. And in this interrogation and in this conversation, Pilate is addressing Jesus. And to get Jesus before Pilate, the religious leaders had to make up crimes. They had to make up crimes so that they could get the outcome that they desired. You see, if to blaspheme wasn't punished by death, for the religious leaders to put Jesus to death, they had to accuse him of a few things. First one was tax evasion, that Jesus was encouraging the disciples and his followers not to pay tax, that he was a rebel, that he was causing riots out in the countryside, but this was the one that they accused him of, treason. He claimed to be king and not Caesar, and that is what got Pilate's attention. Pilate interrogates him, and he is troubled. His wife comes to him and says, "I've had a dream, have nothing to do with this man," and he is looking for a way out of this situation. And what he does is he remembers that at the Passover there was a custom that to keep the Jews on side, they would release one prisoner. And in the prison was a man by the name of Barabbas. Barabbas was a horrible man. The Bible tells us he was an insurrectionist. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He caused rebellion. All the crimes that Jesus was accused of, Barabbas had committed. There's no way he paid his taxes. He was a rebel, and he certainly wasn't loyal to Caesar. And in that moment, where Pilate thinks, okay, here's a way that I can get Jesus off of my hands. Let's present both men to the crowds, and surely the crowd are going to ask for Jesus to be released, the good guy. But the crowd, they shout for Barabbas to be released, and they ask for Jesus to be crucified. See, the crowd had switched from shouting Hosanna to now crucify him. Jesus' followers had been silent. His disciples were nowhere to be seen, and now the crowd were no longer shouting his praises. They were shouting for him to be executed. The religious leaders had infiltrated them and managed to get them to cry out and ask for Jesus to be crucified. Jesus understands what it's like to be shamed in public. He knows what it is to feel shame, even for things that he did not do. He was mocked, he was ridiculed. And I wonder, maybe you feel shame for things that you have done or things you have been accused of. Jesus understands your pain. Not only does he understand shame, we see here that he understands what it feels like to be rejected. The crowd reject him. And Pilate realizes that actually this is a setup. I've been framed here. And to just get this situation dealt with, he comes up with a solution that hopefully will please everyone. And he agrees for Jesus to be handed over to the soldiers, to be tortured, and then to be crucified. Jesus is rejected. Jesus is brought to the soldiers. The soldiers bring out everyone, every soldier in the barrack, all comes out to see him. They place a robe around him. They put a crown of thorns upon him. They beat him. They mock him. They spit on his face. They torture him. They lash him with whips. He is humiliated. And you know, when we look at this story, we feel sympathy, of course, for Jesus, but you know who we are in this story? We are Barabbas. You see, Jesus dies in the place. He takes the punishment that Barabbas deserved, but Jesus didn't deserve. See, Jesus doesn't put up a fight. He doesn't wrestle back, and He doesn't try to answer the questions because he knew that this was all part of God's plan. There's a verse in Romans chapter 5 which says this, that, but God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ dies for us. God demonstrates. That's a word that is present, that he demonstrates, not demonstrated, he demonstrates his love for us, and that Jesus died for each and every one of us. Why? Because we're sinners. Very unpopular term. A word that makes people uncomfortable. People feel that they're too good to be a sinner, but the Bible teaches us that we've all sinned. That we've all made choices that offend God. We've all chose to reject him until we make that decision to realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is our Savior who dies in our place, who takes our sins. We are Barabbas. Barabbas gets to go free, and so do we when we realize we are sinners, that Christ died for us. His love is so great that we can be forgiven of our sins because of what he has done for us. He understands. Jesus dies for you. Who is Jesus? As Jesus is crucified, one instruction that Pilate did give was that they put above his head a sign which said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And he did that to wind up the religious leaders, but his statement is true. He is Jesus. But not only just King of the Jews, he's King of kings and Lord of lords. He is King forever. Jesus understands your confusion. He understands what it's like to be let down. He understands what it feels like to be shamed. He understands what it's like to be rejected. And maybe you are feeling like one of those things today, and we all have moments in life where we feel like that. But you know, I want to encourage you to be like those on that Palm Sunday that laid down their cloaks. They put something on the ground. They took something off and laid it down. And for you today, it might be confusion. It could be shame. It could be that sense of rejection, that feeling of being let down and betrayed. You need to let that go and lay it down. Jesus understands. He knows what it feels like. But the true experience of realizing that even in the midst of all that, to follow Jesus along the way, it means laying those things down and lifting up, not palm branches, but hands in praise to Jesus and declaring that he is King of kings. Our response to Jesus is to lay down ourselves, to lay down our hearts, to lay down our priorities, to lay down our preferences, to lay down our shame, our confusion, our rejection, to lay that down and lift up Jesus. And when you lift up Jesus, you shift from that limited now perspective to the eternal perspective. That Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And even when life does not make sense, when things are difficult, not easy, he's still king. And the sign of true discipleship and maturity is when life is going wrong, you can still say, Hosanna. You can still say, I will raise a hallelujah. You can still say, all praise to King Jesus. I wonder you're watching me today and you're feeling like that. You're feeling confused. You're feeling hurt. You're feeling let down. And you're feeling burdened by all these things. Well, you know, Jesus came. This is his mission, to take all that burden from you. That's why he went to the cross. He took your sin. He took your shame. He was rejected so that you could be accepted. He dies on the cross. He takes your place. so that you can come in a moment like this and recognize that you're a sinner who needs forgiveness, and you can receive the forgiveness that your Savior Jesus has for you. And when you do so, you begin a new life, a following after him, here and now, but also in eternity. You'll spend forever in his presence. And I wonder, as you're watching me right now, you've never made that decision. I want to give you that opportunity right now. And to do so, it means praying sincerely from your heart. Just something similar like this. Just please repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world, that you went to the cross, that you took my place. I recognize I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old life. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Make me a new person by the power of your Spirit. I confess you are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that today, please, please contact us. Let us know. We want to connect with you and to help you. Friend, you love Jesus, but if you're being truthful, you're feeling burdened, you're feeling heavy, life's not easy, things are difficult, you're feeling confused or rejected, well, can I ask you today to lay that down and to lift up your praise? That even in the midst of challenge, just as Jesus was faithful the whole way, he went the distance, he understands, he knows it's difficult, but come on, you can go the distance. You can lift your praise. And as you begin to lift your hands and begin to praise and begin to worship him, your focus will shift from this earth and all its troubles to what is of real importance, eternal matters, that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is leading you along the way to victory.